Video game abducts child. This is HOM News. Citizens from all over the county were thrown into panic after 10-year-old Jason Williams was kidnapped by a video game in broad daylight while sitting in the family den.
One minute he was talking with me, enjoying life. The next he was someplace else. Gone.
Fearing the worst, Mrs. Williams called the authorities, who connected the incident to a string of similar abductions in recent weeks. Early reports reveal no sign of resistance by the child, indicating he may have known and trusted the perpetrator.
We believe every child in the area is at risk and encourage parents to take precautions until they apprehend the culprit.
Video game addiction expert Olivia Bruner suggests parents lock their doors to keep kids outside, for fear their own children might be abducted in a similar manner. For more on this story, visit homnews.com.
Hi, I'm Kurt Bruner, and thanks for listening. On May 5th of 2009, Reuters News came out with this report. Quote, parents who think their children are addicted to their video games may be right in many cases, a new study suggests. The study of nearly 1,200 U.S. children and teenagers found that almost 10% showed signs of pathological video game use, meeting the definition normally used for gauging pathological gambling. Past studies have shown that it's about 20% of gamers who become addicted. This number shows that that's now reached the point where it's 10% or more of all kids. Ouch. I mean, we thought these games were, you know, kind of a nice thing because they helped our kids get hand-eye coordination, and it turns out they're turning them to addictive behaviors. You're about to hear a presentation that was given a couple of years ago by my wife Olivia and myself at a gathering of parents and educators who were concerned about the topic of video game obsession among young people and this growing trend, this growing problem that's affecting their academic performance and overall well-being in life. Problem, if anything, is worse now than it was when we presented because video games have become that much more dominant in the culture. We try to give them a balanced perspective, an understanding of the research, the physiological effects on the brain, and some practical suggestions on how they can help prevent what ultimately can become an addiction in the lives of many young people. So I trust you'll find this presentation helpful as you navigate these issues in your situation. We've titled it Video Game Trouble. Thank you. It's an honor to be with you today.
Well, we are thrilled to be here to talk to you today about a subject that I'm sure your children are wishing that you weren't here to talk about. We're never the favorite with the kids, but I think you will be so glad when you hear the information. You'll be armed with the research, and it's really what we wish we would have known at the stage of when our family and our boys were younger and we were just getting into this whole world of video games. So we are thrilled to be here. This whole issue of gaming snuck into our homes, and all of a sudden we are too busy to really look at it and understand what's going on. It's just one more issue that's in our culture that we have to face. So before we get into it, we just want to read with you. Our book's been out about 8 months, and the emails are pouring in. And if you're sitting here right now thinking, you know what, I'm not sure if this is really true. Video game addiction, I mean, can you truly be addicted to video game? I don't really get it. We just want to read from you from a few of the emails that we've gotten so you know right away this is a real problem. Then we're going to dive right into the research.
Kurt and Olivia, I can't thank you enough for your very timely book. Last Friday, I finally reached a breaking point with my oldest of four boys, 10, 9, 6, and 5. He lied to his grandmother about his brother's Game Boy. That was it for me. On Saturday, I scoured the internet for information to bolster my husband's and my feeling that this problem was large and beyond his control. We have been very restrictive of the time spent playing, but I'm exhausted from being the gaming cop. It has been 1 week since I confiscated all the gaming systems, and my oldest son has been fairly emotional all week. In fact, we're going to talk about why that would be the case. I've been nervous about summer vacation, and now I feel liberated.
Kurt and Olivia, is it okay for a 31-year-old married man of 2 years and an assistant pastor of a church to play video games every night for 3 hours or more, late into the night? At this moment, on a Friday night, he plays. Is it okay for him to take the system on our first-year anniversary trip and play almost nonstop while his wife walks around a beautiful lake and does mostly everything by herself?
Hello, I've just gotten your book and I'm reading it now. My husband is an addict. He's 25 and played games mostly through his teenage life, stopped when we were dating, and started up again when we got married. It's like I don't even know him anymore. How do I help my husband stop? He doesn't think he's addicted, and when I bring it up, he just blows me off. He doesn't eat normally, he's gained weight, and never goes to bed before 2 a.m. Your book is the only resource about this stuff, and I'm so glad that you wrote it, and I'm wondering, is it too late for my husband?
First of all, I just want to thank you for writing your book. My 17-year-old son agreed to read it and finally admits he is addicted to video games. What do we do now? He is a freshman at Pepperdine University and surrounded by video gamers. He will be returning to school after his Christmas break, and he doesn't even think he can resist gaming. Since he's been home and we found out Christmas Eve that he did very poorly academically, we have taken away his laptop and his GameCube. He has been very depressed, and I'm not sure if he is even capable of taking positive action. Up until now, he's been a straight-A student, has always scored 99% on the standardized test, and did exceptionally well on his SATs. He got into Pepperdine with a substantial academic scholarship that is renewable based on a maintaining a good GPA that is now in jeopardy. I am very worried about him. He has gone from being a very motivated, goal-oriented student to an addicted, depressed, and apathetic person. He used gaming to help relieve his stress, and then it became the part of a problem, a vicious cycle. Those are just a few letters of hundreds of letters that we have gotten in from this topic, so it is a real problem. And we started seeing it in our home. What happened in our home was, of course, you saw we have three boys, so gaming at a very early age became an issue. And that was when gaming wasn't as prevalent. Well, what happened is they were probably about 7 and 5, our oldest boys. And of course, what happened, they're asking us all the time, you know, can we get a gaming system? And we said, no, we can't afford it. That was kind of what we used, you know, and I'm sorry, it's just too expensive. And we were at some friend's house one day who had the old gaming system and they had just upgraded to the new one. And in front of our boys, they said to us, hey, would you like our old one? Of course, please, 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 Mom. And they promised, you know, we'll only play it on weekends and we won't push you for more time. And, you know, could we please just take it? It's free.
Well, before that, we had been renting games. Why don't you tell them about that?
Every once in a while before that, we would rent a system. We used to be able to rent them from Blockbuster. And the great part about that is maybe for a special birthday, we would rent it and they would play for a couple days. And then guess what? We took it back. And I always, by Sunday, was like, when do we have to take that back? You know, I couldn't wait to get it back because it really did change their who they were during that weekend. That is all they wanted to do. And so what they said is when someone offered to give it to us, they said, how about if we just treat it like from Blockbuster, Mom? We'll only get it out every once in a while, and we'll you know, play it a couple days, and then we'll put it away. Well, they won me over. You know, those sweet kids, they look at you, they have great goals in them, and they won me over, and so we let it come in our home. The problem is, how long do you think it lasted that it would only came out every once in a while? 2 months, you know, maybe 3, and it was sitting in front of the TV all the time, calling out their name every minute of the day. They were begging for more time, always, always bartering. How about if I do this? Can I get more? And how about if I do that? Can I get more? And the other thing I did was I always asked my mentor moms, you know, what do you do with this issue and what do you think about it? And I asked every mom, and it was interesting. I got from all the moms, I don't like it, but, you know, we have it, we try to limit it, we trade it for homework, you know, homework time or schooling time. And it was always, I don't like it, but. So we went ahead and said, okay, we'll deal with it. I remember telling Kurt, you know, I just don't want to say no to one more thing. I can handle this. I'm sure I can. And probably after about 4 or 5 years of us having the system in our home, I was at my wit's end. I was so tired of, and this mom put it so well, being the gaming cop. It was just a constant battle, and I just thought there must be more to this. So what I did was I picked up the phone and I called one of these mentor moms. I said, Vicki, you know, and her son was in college now. Her son actually was also in Pepperdine. And I said to her, you know, Vicki, after all those years of homeschooling, and now Thomas is in college and he's doing really well. He had a quadruple major for his BA and now he was in law school at Pepperdine. So I said to her, what do you think about the whole gaming world? And she got real quiet and she said, it's interesting that you call me right now. And I said, why? She said, well, Thomas was home from Pepperdine this summer and he took us out for lunch. And he said to us, why didn't you take those games away from me? And he began to tell him about his addiction to this whole gaming world. And it wasn't until he got to Pepperdine and he got to law school that he realized, I can't game 7 hours a day and do law school. I just can't do that anymore. It just doesn't fit. And up until then, all Thomas did was school, game, no social life, No, nothing. He was doing well in school. His parents had no idea how much he was gaming, and he was completely addicted.
In fact, Jonathan is one of the, I think, the first story we tell in the book, because there are four stories of former addicts who tell their story to us so that others can read them. He's called Jonathan in the book. But he was homeschooled, quadruple major, law school grad. I mean, a brilliant kid. The kind of kid you'd say, well, he's not what I would picture as a gaming addict because he's successful academically. He said to us, he told us a story. He says, here I am on a study program in London. I'm sitting in London in a hotel. I should be seeing the museum, seeing the sights, and I'm sitting there playing a game, a video game. I can't stop. So we said, well, what would you say to parents? Now he, as a recovering addict, has a very strong view on it. He says, get rid of it completely, entirely. I wish my mom had done that. Even if you limit the actual playing time, you're not going to eliminate the kids thinking about it as long as it's in the house. It was all I thought about. And we said, well, wait a minute. Okay, get rid of it. What if your mom had done that, what would you have done? He said, I would have been furious. But now, I'm looking back wishing that they had dealt with it.
In his mind, he said to me that I remember there were 2 weeks in my teenage years where I got in trouble. And so my mom took away the gaming system for 2 weeks. He said that was the most miserable time in my entire life. I was so dependent on it. I loved it so much that when she took it away from me, it was all I thought about. And he said, I just kept thinking, maybe if I do this for her, she'll give it back. Maybe if I do this for her. And he also said, it's the only thing that pushed me to lie to my parents. And so we told our boys, we're going to box it up, put it away for a month, and we're going to do the research. I had no idea if there was any research out there. I had no idea, but I said, we're going to look into it. And I began to scour. Are there any studies? Is there a reason? Is there any research out there? And lo and behold, there was.
Let us give you the real quick bullets of what the bottom line of the research we found is. First of all, more than 1 in 5 kids currently are addicted. However, boys are far more likely than girls to get hooked. The statistics that come out are a general statistic of those who play games. Boys, it's going to be a much higher percentage. What do we mean by addicted? We're not talking about a moral crusade issue. We're talking about a physiological addiction. We're not even talking about the content of games. A lot of people you'll hear talking about violent games, but we didn't let our kids play any of those. We let them play the clean games, and we screen that very carefully. We're talking about the process that occurs in the brain because of the very nature of video game play. Your brain chemistry actually changes. One study showed that about 20 minutes of video game play is the equivalent of a dose of an amphetamine in terms of the dopamine high that occurs in the brain. Now what happens is repeated dopamine highs, meaning if a child is playing this daily or every other day for any prolonged period of time, they're actually experiencing a drug high. And that drug high over and over leads to what addiction experts call habituation. You actually rewire and train your brain to need that drug high and to need more and more and more.
And this is what we saw in our son, and especially our oldest son, Kyle. What I found with him is he was a piano player, he was a trombone player, he had a lot of joys in life, but once he started gaming, every single one of those joys began to take second fiddle. Number one was gaming, and I would say to him, why don't you go practice your piano or write a piece on the piano, and he would say to me, Mom, that's so hard. And I knew what he meant by that. He could go down and play 30 minutes of video games and feel really good. I just conquered the world, saved the princess, dopamine high. I'm sorry, but doing math doesn't give you a dopamine high. You know, doing all the other things that we ask them to do means hard work, discipline, and the reward comes in the end, and often after a long period of time, not immediately. And this is what we realized. Kyle was a good kid. He didn't want to feel this way, but he could not help it because of what was happening in his brain.
It's the opposite of delayed gratification. It's reinforcing the opposite pattern, and then it affects all the areas of life. Let me just quickly mention another study. Violent games do activate something called the anger center of the brain. It dampens the conscience over time. Most conscientious parents aren't letting their children play those kind of games, so we want to mention it, but we don't want to focus on it because that's not really what's causing, we think, the majority of the problem of addiction.
Well, another interesting thing is when we started doing the research, I started finding websites that teach people how to design games. And guess what word kept showing up in their websites? Addictive. Make them addictive. And they will come back for more. Matter of fact, one site especially talked about 6 or 7 different things that you put in a game to make it addictive. It's a big money maker. In the year 2005 was the first year that the video game industry actually surpassed Hollywood in how much money that was made.
Well, you know there's a cultural transition occurring. We've now begun to see movies that are being made about games that are popular. And so it's becoming a dominant force, particularly, and I can't emphasize this enough, particularly among the boy culture. This now defines the boy culture. When I was growing up, it was sports or whatever it might be. This is now the defining piece of the boy culture and identity and all of those things. The reason is, if you look at the list of what's making it addictive, it's all of the things boys and men were made for in real life. Thomas said to us, he said, in my world of video gaming, I was rescuing the princess and I was building kingdoms. But in the real world, I was a lazy slob sitting on the couch playing these games. And so that's the contrast.
When we came across these, I really understood this, because these were the issues that they talked about. Make sure there's like a beating the game. That's very addictive. Make sure there's competition, mastery, exploration, the high score. There's something about, it's just like with gambling. It says, same, I want to get more and more, a higher score. Story-driven role play. Now, in our book, we talk about the different types of games. Some are more addictive than others. And what we say is, if they have all of these, especially the last two, story-driven role-play, which is the RPG games, and relationship-based, so they're playing online where they're playing with other people that they don't know, and so it's these virtual relationships. If it has all of those, and especially those last two, it is the cocaine of addictive games. Whereas maybe if it just has a few of those, maybe it's just a racing game where it's really just beating, it's just competition, it's going to be less addictive. All right, so those games are not going to be quite as addictive, but if they have all of these, it's like pouring all the addictive stuff into one game. And those are the ones that we've gotten letters on, especially those that they just can't get away from. It doesn't matter what happens. They're losing marriages. They're losing years of college because of these games.
Let me say something, particularly to the men and the young men in the auditorium. We are made for certain things. In the real world, we are made to compete and to win. That's what we're driven toward. But in the real world, you play an athletic competition and you exert that energy, and then there's a winner and a loser and a rest. Games are made for 70 hours of play. The MMORPG games that are online are made to never, ever end.
Right, they've got a whole team of people coming up with new scenarios every day for these games. Games like RuneScape, World of Warcraft, SOCOM, there's so many of them online now, Sims you can do online, and they've got a whole team of people coming up with new scenarios for these games every day, and so it's never ending. So what's happening is your children's mind cannot rest. It can't go, I'm done with that. Now I can go on to enjoying my mom or my grandma or a board game or a sports thing or whatever else they want to do, because they're thinking about it. It's in the back of their mind, because it's like ending in the middle of a story. And we've had several people tell us that when they would go to bed at night, they would see their character. And they would feel obligated to get back and get going on what he was supposed to be doing, because they are the character. So it's very different than other activities in that way also. It's interesting, because when we first were introduced to the game The Sims, it was in a magazine. I got every gaming magazine and started reading through the gaming magazines, and I would go to the gaming stores and they showed me, oh, and look at The Sims game. And they opened it up and there was a little advertisement there, and there was a picture of a guy in bed with two women on either side of him. And then in walked his wife. So there was a picture from the back of his wife holding a shopping bag. And the choices for them, for her in this game was, let's see, join them.
Oh, scream.
Scream, hit, you know. Cry, eat ice cream. Those are the choices in the game. And then at the bottom it said, play The Sims, meet the woman of your dreams, and introduce her to your wife. So the problem is, you just have to be so on top of it, it's very hard to understand where all these games are
going.
Yeah,
let me make a comment, though, a caveat about what she just said. And again, we'll touch again, if we have time here, we'll touch on the rating system and what the content of the games are. That's not the issue we're talking about, though. Mm-hmm. Yes, that exists. Most conscientious parents don't let it go there. We're talking about what's happening to the brain, regardless of the content of the game. Let's real quickly run through common mistakes. We'd like to leave time for some questions, if we can. We made all of these, so we're experts on the common mistakes.
Yeah, we made every one of them, so you should feel not badly, because you shouldn't feel like, oh, I'm doing that. We wrote these, and I realized we did all this.
Obviously, you know, starting young, the younger you start, the more time there is to develop these patterns in the brain.
And I really do like to talk to preschool parents about this and just say no. Say no, 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 as long as you possibly can, and then you don't have to worry about it. Because the earlier you start that pattern, the more that's what they're going to want. We have a 9-year-old now, Troy, who has never had gaming. And so when he goes to a friend's house, he knows he can play for half an hour as long as it's a game that we approve of and it's an E-rated game. But he does not think about it the rest of the time, because it's not there calling his name in front of our television, you know, all the time. Thomas said that when it got really addicting for Thomas is when it went to the basement. And he said I would go down there and I'd play. And you know, moms, how many times have you heard this? I just need 5 more minutes, Mom. I can't.
I've got to finish
off
this level, Mom.
And Kurt would be like, yes, you can turn it off. I'll come out there and turn it off. I'll rip it out of the wall, you know? I mean, that's the way you feel.
Which, by the way, I don't recommend that approach.
No. But that frustration. And Thomas said what would happen is once my mom put it up there, you know, as long as I was done with my schooling, she thought I was going up there and playing a half an hour, and it would turn into an hour, and then 2 hours, and then 3 hours. And, you know, Thomas wasn't going to run up and say, oh, by the way, Mom, my time's done. Is there something else you want me to do? You know?
By the way, if your child does that, you probably don't have a problem.
Yeah, if your child tells you my time's over, don't worry about it. Let them play their half an hour a day. Yeah. So really, easy access to me means do not know bedrooms, period. Bedrooms should be media free, and yeah. I am so strong on that. I'm going to back off on that one. No computers, no internet, and no gaming systems in the bedroom. They don't have the maturity yet to handle that, and just get it out of there because you don't know when they're playing. And then I would say it needs to be in a public place. That's why I say put it in your kitchen, because after about 20 minutes, you would be like, turn that thing off, you know? But you obviously can't put it in your kitchen. So your family room, someplace where people walk by a lot, where if they've been playing for more than their time, you're going to remember, wait a minute, you were supposed to get off, you know, 30 minutes ago. Why are you still on that thing? And they also have the accountability of people walking in.
Real quickly, get ready to say, ouch. Using as a reward is one of the biggest mistakes, and we all make this one. In fact, it was our excuse. I only use it as a reward system for finishing schooling and so forth. It's Pavlovian, because now I'm doing these other things in order to get to that which I find satisfaction in, rather than finding satisfaction in these other things. And so it actually reinforces the addictive process. So, sorry.
And so really I recommend to parents, you know, just if you're going to have it in your home, pick 2 days a week. This is your hour you get on Tuesday and Saturday, and then you're done. And it's not going to be tied to, yes, you can get more if you get this, because it's that, you know, when do I get it? That's what they're reaching for, rather than, again, what Kurt said, letting their mind rest.
Real quickly, don't fall for the one more level. I've got to finish this level. They're designed for that. Okay, they're designed that you can't stop immediately at any time. At least many of these games
are. And this is why with the one more level, I would recommend more, if you're going to game, more of the group games. You know, the racing games or the dance game or that kind of thing, because you can say you can do one race or two races and then you're done. And again, it's not lingering in their mind, because that one more level is just so appealing to them. I've got to finish. And it's a drive that they don't even know that's happening.
So. Ignoring your gut probably is the biggest mistake. If you have a gut feeling about it with your child, you have permission to say no, and you're not nuts. They'll say you're nuts. They'll think you're nuts. You're not nuts. Let me just give you 4 takeaway points that we want to really reinforce as you leave. And our number one recommendation is educate yourself before you make any decisions, and walk through this very carefully. We don't have time to go into how we managed the process. There will be a withdrawal if you deal with it. Because it's a physiological issue. You've got to be patient. You've got a lot of issues you've got to understand.
But I want to tell this one thing. When we decided to take it out of our home, it was probably a month into it, and Kyle was going through a depression. And he came into our bedroom at night, and he had, you know, we spent a lot of time with him. I think Kurt's never played so much chess with Kyle. You know, it was like every night, let's play chess, buddy. What do you want to do?
Gilligan's Island DVDs. Yeah. That's a good thing.
You know, it was every night. It was like, okay, what can we do? And he came in, and I remember him saying to Kurt, Dad, there's no patch for Nintendo. And he was talking about the nicotine patch, because he knew this is something that to do cold turkey and get away from is very, very
hard.
Well,
and he had about 6 months of physiological rehabituation of the brain, and that's difficult and an emotional time. Real quickly, takeaway. Number one, we are saying most video games are not immoral. Now, that's changing over time, but the content of games is not so much an issue. You can find games that are pretty clean and pretty safe from a content standpoint, but most video games are addictive. Some are less addictive than others, but that doesn't change the fact that most are addictive. Very important to realize that your child is acquiring his or her tastes during this era of life. And what they will find joy in and satisfaction in and motivation in is all being developed. This is the season when the brain is being hardwired for the things that they will have a lifelong love for. And we regret the fact that our oldest son, we know, will struggle with this his whole life because we didn't catch it till he was 14. He had already developed enough in his brain, hardwired enough in his brain, taste for this, that it will be a battle his whole life to avoid addiction. And you do have permission to say no Some people are doing it. You don't have to throw it over the railing, as the opening story of our book, One Mom Did, in the middle of the night, and it crashed at the bottom of the ravine there, which is very dramatic, but may not be the best relationally with our children to manage
that way. But this mom did it because she was at her wit's end. You know, it was like, if I don't do it, she had woken up at 2 in the morning and heard something downstairs. She had finally limited her kids to half an hour a day, and she woke up at 2 in the morning and heard some noise in the basement. So she went down there, and all four of her boys were down there playing at 2 in the morning. So she was just like, what? You know, and of course, they'd probably been down there a couple hours. So she just went upstairs, and she said, I paced in my room for 10 minutes because so many times she had thought, we have got to do something, and she couldn't bring herself to do it because they beg, please, please, please. And so she went back down there, and she ripped everything out of the wall, and she went back up to the third story of her house, and she threw it off the deck, and it went. And she said the boys were like waking up their dad, Dad, Mom's going crazy. Come here. Quick, quick, quick. She's throwing it off the deck, you know. And she just said it was just relief for her. She said, I know it wasn't the best way to do it, but I thought if I don't do it now, I'll never do it, you know, because tomorrow they will convince me that they can control it. And they couldn't. And she also told me the story that her older son had 5 friends that he hung with all the time. He was a senior. And they broke that habit for him. And those 6 of them went off to college. And she said by December, 4 of them were back home, living at home, working a part-time job, and playing video games, because they could not handle college life.
That, by the way, is not an exception.
Not
That's
an
becoming
exception.
A norm among the boy culture, by the way.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you very much.
It's been great fun. We'll be at the booth.
If you want to learn more about this topic, you can pick up the book PlayStation Nation. It's available at Amazon and other places. You can also visit our website or email us if you're interested in learning more. Just go to homepoint.org, homepoint.org, and you can connect with us there. Now, as Christian parents, we have to ask ourselves, well, why does this really matter? Is this really such a big deal? Well, the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Now, video games is just one of many areas that our kids can become mastered by something else. Overtakes their drive, their discipline, their ability to pursue what they're made for in life. So we wanted to share this with you because we all are navigating some issue. It could be video games, it could be substance abuse, it could be texting with our teenage girls, who knows what it is. But we're all navigating things that we're seeing overtake our children's lives, or we worry could overtake their lives. And so we need to understand, we need to educate ourselves, and most of all, we need to have a perspective that says, my job is to coach my kids through this so that I get them through on the other side with a stronger life discipline as well as faith in Jesus Christ. We hope this is helpful as you do that. Good luck as you navigate these issues, and we'll see you next time.